Welcome along to Top Shelf Tech. Today, we're very fortunate to have a special guest joining us from Wiz. We've got Yinon, and Yinon, welcome along. Just firstly, maybe thank you for joining us. I know we've got, you're very busy for obvious reasons, but firstly, maybe just a quick introduction of yourself and your role in Wiz.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And really, I'm Yinon Kostika. I'm running product management and one of the co-founders in a company named Wiz. We're in the cloud security space.
Yeah, no, I think it's a company that needs no introduction right now. It's there's huge amounts of buzz around what you guys are doing, and I'm kind of really, really interested in exploring that sort of story of where you've come from today. Now, you and your fellow co-founders, you launched Wiz in 2020 after leaving Microsoft. Can you tell us a little bit about the thought process by that and around that, and what it was like launching a company in the middle of a pandemic as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, a little bit about the co-founders and myself. We are a team. We go for a long time together, actually 24 years.
Wow.
The first startup named Adalom, it was founded in 2013. It was acquired very fast in 2015 by Microsoft. It was a SaaS security company, and we basically, once acquired into Microsoft, we grew the cloud security business there for 5 years. Up until 2020. In 2020, we decided that we want to start again something, a new startup, get back to the hands-on experience. And then basically March 1st, 2020, we founded Wiz. Wiz, actually 2 weeks before COVID hit. And back then, we were starting the company, just living very comfortable roles in Microsoft, and then we see it, and 2 weeks later, COVID hits. And I think that we really thought it's like, what have we done? It's like the worst decision ever. In the hindsight, right, we can actually say that it was a very unique moment, probably the best time we could have started a cloud security company. We've had the luxury of actually getting 10 of the best thought leaders, leading CISOs in the world every day, just every day, 10 CISOs asking, well, how do they think? Run ideation, validation with them. And through that journey, we actually got to the idea of Wiz. Yeah.
And so that sort of came out of the hearing the real world problems that these CISOs were facing, and sort of working back from that to go, well, how do we solve for this?
Yeah, exactly. So when we started, we were actually we weren't even named Wiz. We were Beyond Networks, okay? So we thought we're going to do cloud-native networking. We thought it's very novel technology. We were sure that cloud security is already solved. And as we were going through this journey, basically learning through the eyes of our customers what exactly are the challenges in cloud, we realized that when they have many tools that perform scans, they don't really have a good understanding of the cloud, the risks, who owns what, the architecture. So it's all very vague. And that's where we actually came up with the idea of, okay, you know what, let's start with creating this security graph that will build not only the inventory and the findings, but everything that connects them one to another. And this is where basically we started.
And that's quite interesting when you talk about, you felt that cloud security was already solved, because I'll be really honest. When I first heard about Wiz, I thought, why do we need another CSPM tool? Why is it called Wiz? Like, what is this thing? And I actually wrote it off, and I didn't even bother really looking too much further. I was like, we've had CSPM tools. They've all been bought by, firewall vendors for the most part. And, we'd been an early partner with one of those tools, and you kind of got this big list of sort of things to action. So given it wasn't it was a busy market, it did have solutions in there, what kind of made you believe that you could, differentiate Wiz and create something that was, I guess unique and could cut through that noise?
Yeah, I think that one of the questions that always remained open is, what do I actually have exposed? And it's a very basic question, right? So you go to any team, any security team, not only security, also developers and business units, you should ask them, what are you exposing to the world? This should be very, you know, I know exactly what I'm exposing, but in cloud, it's not the case. Cloud has literally dozens and dozens, I think even in the hundreds of ways to expose something to the outside world, because cloud really doubles down on connectivity and integrations, which is great, right? But it creates an open for exposure. And when we reversed that basically question and we asked, okay, so what do we really need to know about the cloud environment? We realized that you need to learn a lot about the cloud in order to answer that one question. Back then, there was a very high profile cloud breach of a financial company that was actually, I remember it, it was an internet facing virtual appliance that was vulnerable.
Yep.
With a cloud role that has access to sensitive data. And we looked at the entire industry and we were asking ourselves, wait, how would we expect a customer to find this type of attack path in their cloud environment? Maybe they have five different tools. Each one shows them a different part of the piece of the puzzle, but there is no such tool that actually shows them, let's start here. And that's a blueprint for the Wiz, what we call today toxic combination. We realized that it's not about the siloed findings from different scanners. It's actually about bringing it together and trying to understand what ties to what and what actually creates a risk to the environment and use it as a way to prioritize. So through the exposure, we actually had to implement all of the rest of the pieces in the puzzle and then bring it together through the graph so we can answer that one question.
Yeah, and I think just in terms of that as well, you know, there's this huge market buzz around. And again, I was skeptical. I thought it's almost too much. It feels like it's there's a bit of a balloon and it's going to pop. But to your point, there's actually a lot of substance behind this, right? So when you start, there's the security graph, first and foremost, I think, which I'd like to talk a little bit more about, you know, in terms of the modeling of data, and then that kind of ability to layer on top of it and look at the combinations and take kind of a risk view as opposed to a problem orientated view of the, I'm just kind of interested in digging into that and the feedback you're getting from customers regarding, you know, when you do operate Wiz, and again, a lot of us have had previous tools in this space, what are you hearing in terms of the problems it solves?
Yeah, basically I think the prioritization is a key element of today any security tool. It doesn't help me as a security team to get 100,000 vulnerabilities or misconfigurations. I need to know what are the top 10 I need to deal with. And if I'm not able to crystallize that, I'm not going to be successful. And the second piece to it is, how do we explain it in a way that is clear to the actual teams that are going to remediate it? In this case, the cloud development teams. So I think the combination today of being able to connect to a cloud environment completely agentlessly, so no agents deployed at any scale through one cloud role, and basically gain this visibility around what are the top issues, this is where customers are really, I think they really get what is the difference between the Wiz and other CSPMs, more traditional CSPMs, vulnerability scanners in the market. The other thing that actually, you know, that's my favorite part is the reaction they get when the security team actually brings in the development team. And, you know, security and development, it's not always a love story.
Yeah.
When you actually get the security teams to show the developers, the business units, hey, we found this toxic combination, they always have this hesitation in the beginning. You know that, Are we going to get a pushback? But the response from the teams, this is a moment that strikes me the most every single time, where the development team actually looks at the issue and says, how did you find it? How were you able to correlate it? How did you know? And then they go and fix it. So I think that the ability to really simplify the prioritization, the visualization, and drive to an action, this is where everything is different.
And I think, you know, everybody's rushing to try to build platform plays, right? And I think we've seen point products just get too complex. And if we think about the CNAPP space, you know, you've had CSPM, you've had CIEM, you've had all these tools, vulnerability scanners, all these kind of layers and layers and layers. And not only are you spending all your budget buying lots of them, you've got to make sense of them at the end. So you know, when I look at it kind of architecturally, and I look at, you've used the GraphDB approach to be able to build these models out, build entity relationships, layer data on it, it kind of has that platform capability without getting crazily busy, right, by sort of the ability to look at combinations of things to understand real risk. But then in addition to that, and you talked about development tools, you're kind of shifting left with the, you know, you've got Wiz Code now. And then on the flip side of that with, you know, Gem Security, with Wiz Defend, we're starting to see the platform really kind of fill out at both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting to understand with Wiz Code how organic it was, how natural it was for customers to basically change their lens and say, you know what? Everything that we do in cloud, why wouldn't we just do it earlier? And so this is one thing that really resonates with customers, having a single set of scanners, policies running across cloud and code together. That's one. The other thing that is even more interesting is actually the line of sight that you can create between the cloud artifact and the code that generated this cloud artifact can accelerate remediation, because now I can look at the vulnerability somewhere in my cloud, but I can actually see the line of code that created this vulnerability in the first place. And I can cut through so many manual phases that I had to go previously just to get to the line of code, fix, redeploy. And that's where we are really excited about Wiz Code, the shift left. It's a completely different way of thinking about application security. It's like unified now across the entire development lifecycle. So that's excitement number one. And that's why, when we think about a platform, same policy, same scanner, same experience. Now we just click here, remediate it in code. Very natural. The second thing is around Wiz Defend, which is a gem security on top of Wiz. We realized over time, so Wiz started as a vulnerability management risk-based product, but we realized that the context that we can provide security operations team is invaluable when it comes to addressing threats in cloud. And this is where we started the journey, and we realized that we are sitting on a gold mine in that sense, because security operations teams, they have no clue what's going on in the cloud. Same story that the cloud architects didn't have a clue on what's going in the cloud before. So this is where we felt like it's not going to be a feature. We have to double down. We have to bring a team of expertise. And that's where Gem Security, we actually acquired them to build that security operations-centric experience on top of Wiz. And the mechanism that actually allowed us to achieve this platform approach is actually the unified, I would say, data model that sits under Wiz, which is a graph. The graph allows us to plug in data from different sources, but still rationalize over this data in a way that is consistent, not only across cloud architectures, but across completely different data sets, identity, data, network, vulnerability, code, artifacts. So this is basically the foundation.
Yeah, and I think that I actually got a demo of Wiz Defend yesterday, and I was, you know, one of the things that we were looking at was the incident response capability, understanding the blast radius of an event. And then over the last week, really, I mean, and some exciting news this morning with this morning for me, the DAS acquisition announcement. But just a week ago, you also announced Remediation 2, AI-powered remediation. So there's this big play around remediation that we see with DAS, with your own native capability. And can you talk to, I guess, how that's going to form part of your future strategy?
Yeah. You know, somewhere last year, we already felt like we got the scanners covered. Like, if there is a problem, we can find it. We have really good scanners across very different domains, secret scanning, vulnerabilities, misconfigurations, identity, like you mentioned. So data, all of them are now, they find the stuff, but the focus now shifts to how can we accelerate remediation? So I talked about the cloud to code, but when we look at it, the broader perspective, every cloud issue I can remediate with different strategies. I can remediate it in the cloud. I can remediate it in code. I can remediate it in the runtime. I can fix an exposure by reconfiguring a security group or by eliminating the gateway as a whole. So I have different, everything that we look at, you have like a decision tree. And even when you decide on implementing it, I want to change a configuration in a cloud. I can do a command line. I can do a Terraform. I can do a cloud formation. I can do multiple different methods to actually perform this. So when we looked at Wiz and we realized that, you know, we want every single finding to be not the center, but to be the starting point for a successful remediation. And we asked ourselves, how can we tailor every single remediation exactly to what the customer wants to do in that specific asset, in that specific situation? And to be honest, before the introduction of AI, we couldn't figure it out. We were saying like, how can we, like, we need an army of, you know, analysts to write remediations and suggestions and playbooks. It will never converge. And then the magic of AI happened. We realized that we can actually train a model once on different problem types. And the model will actually do the tailor, like the specifics of what is needed at the time, whether it's, you know, plugging in the right parameters, whether it's choosing the right language in which you want to execute it, even by suggesting the autofix in the code. So AI became, and honestly, I think that, you know, when I look at AI, it's really, it's not about applying AI for the sake of AI. It's like, isn't actually solving a tough problem? And the answer is yes. For us with remediation, it solved a hard problem that now we're able to give any customer at the point when they see a finding, exactly the remediation steps they expect to see. And this is, I think, a breakthrough in how we think about cloud security. It's not only, it's no longer about finding the stuff we need to fix. We do a good job doing it. We do a great job prioritizing. Now we need to do a great job remediating it, right? So that's the journey.
Yeah, and I think this is something across the industry that's starting to shift, right? So if we look at stuff like SOAR platforms, they're effectively RPA tools. And to your point, the combinations of workflows and playbooks that you have to have, they just get too stacked and you just can't keep up with it. And that actually becomes your complexity. And when we're talking about remediation, we're talking about lots of moving parts. These are, you know, often complex things to go remediate. Now, AI, there's a huge focus right now around LLMs and co-pilots where you can, you know, sort of talk to and interact with tools. But I think what we're starting to see and what you're kind of describing is this, the actual adoption of large action models that can go solve complex problems and, you know, and this kind of, you know, don't just go give me another co-pilot, another LLM sort of to interface with, actually go solve complex problems. And I think that this is quite unique and quite new still in what we've seen emerge in the security industry.
I like the term large action models. I am not going to use it.
Oh, you haven't written one.
It's a good one. No, because it's exactly this. It's like, how do we drive to an action using the model that can really, you know, just tell it what you want to do and it will actually guide you through this step by step. And that's where we see results. And in the one more thing about remediation, I think the entire security industry shifts in the way we think about value. And in the past, you know, I'm talking a decade ago, if we had a tool that found bad stuff, yeah, great, we should buy it.
Yeah. And
today, it's not about finding more stuff. It's like, are we able to show actual risk reduction?
Yeah.
So the focus on remediation is imminent to anything we do in security today.
Yeah, and I think that's key, right? Because your time to remediate is also a key factor here. These issues can be complex, can be multi-domain. By the time you've gone through, figured out how you're going to solve the issue, then put an execution plan in place, it could be too late. So kind of that ability to speed up as well is, you know, fantastic.
One of the initiatives we love at Wiz, like I love at Wiz to do with customers is like, we don't want to drive FUD ever, right? We want to empower security teams to be best at what they do, to be successful. And one of the things, customers are always concerned about zero-day vulnerability. It's exactly for the reason you've mentioned. I hear about a vulnerability. What do we do? How do we find? How do we fix? How long will it take us? Basically, what we try to drive with Wiz is the concept of not zero-day vulnerabilities, but zero-day response.
Yeah.
Think about it. In the morning, you wake up. You see that Twitter with this new CVE. You ask yourself, what am I going to do? So you go to Wiz. I want to basically give you an exact action plan. Here are all the instances. Here are the instances you should start from because they are internet exposed. Here are the owners that should fix. Here are the fix recommendations. Ignite, just get the tasks going. By the time you go to sleep, you should be already remediated. So the zero-day response is absolutely critical as a way of thinking in cloud because you want to have this agility in responding to high-profile threats immediately the day they are introduced.
Well, zero-day response, I haven't heard that one before, so I'll borrow that one from you. I think a good point, right? Like it's 5-day responses, 10-day responses, it can be too long. So that's fantastic. Look, just wrapping up, anything else that you'd like to leave us with, thoughts around Wiz, where you're going, any other things you'd like to touch on?
I think in general, one of the things that are really interesting is to see organizations adopting a new cloud operating model that allows them to really offload the tactical day-to-day tasks of remediation, chasing vulnerabilities, and so on to the actual teams. This is achieved through the prioritization, the democratization, but now they can become strategic. I think one of the things we see that is really interesting is that the security teams are becoming the program manager, the lead strategist for the organization in how we develop our, not only security strategy, but our entire cloud strategy. Because if you think about it, if we have the ability to embrace AI security, we're actually accelerating our organization journey to AI. So now security takes the role of the more strategic technology leadership that paves the way. And this is like one exciting thing that we see with Wiz that I think is really unique to see that shift of security to the more technology strategy domain. And the second thing is actually the DAS acquisition. I think DAS acquisition is really now the latest and greatest that we announced. It's actually allowing us to accelerate a lot of the path to vulnerability management as well and taking this operating model and really doubling down on it. So you can ingest into Wiz more findings, more vulnerabilities, and now you can streamline your entire process. But these are just two thoughts around operating model. And beside this, we really appreciate the work and the guidance we get from our customers. And I think in the end, this journey is a mutual journey for the industry, right? So we feel very privileged to be part of it.
Yeah, and I think you touch on the cloud operating model. I really enjoyed reading some of the blogs and the information on the Wiz website around the cloud operating model, and how you're empowering teams to get there, because people have had concepts of shifting to a cloud operating model for a long time, and it can be hard work to change how an organization operates. So having the tooling and capability to implement it, and like you say, working hand in hand with customers, with partners to actually get real world feedback and build on that, solve real problems. Fantastic. I love reading about this stuff. I love learning about this stuff, and I really enjoyed learning more about Wiz, and really appreciate you taking the time today to talk to us a bit more about what you're doing, where you've come from. So thank you very much, Janon. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.